This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Every weekday, we talk with public officials, business and education leaders, nonprofit organizations, and more about the issues of the day. As we work hard to help you stay connected with local news and information, presented by Roseburg Foot and Ankle Specialist. Now, here's Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Good afternoon. Thanks for being here in the Umpqua Valley as we cover lots of different things. I want to mention that beginning tomorrow, we start our back-to-school series with area school superintendents and education leaders around the Umpqua Valley. That's going to take up the bulk of the next couple of weeks on Inside Douglas County. Well, today we talked to one of the candidates for Roseburg City Council as races have been ramping up as we get towards the November general election. And Samuel Denny, running for the Ward 3 position, being vacated by Ellen Porter, who's not running for another term. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, Kyle, it's nice to have you, or nice to have me. Thank you so much.
So talk about yourself a little bit, your background in the Umpqua Valley.
Yeah, so I was born and raised here in Douglas County. So, I went to high school out at Douglas High. I was here throughout my high school career. I spent, 12 years in 4-H and FFA, mainly involved. That was kind of my high school kind of chore and more of my volunteer experience. I raised pigs. I did camp counseling, and I was heavily involved in the extension service. I went on to complete my registered nursing license and schooling through Umpqua Community College, and then went on to Oregon Health Sciences for my bachelor's and got my master's degree at Capella. And other than a couple years spent in Portland, I've been here in Douglas County my entire life.
Wow. So go ahead and get a little closer to the microphone there. Talk about your current work.
Yeah, so I work two jobs. I work full-time over at ADAPT running some substance use programs that are focusing on opioid addiction. I do that full-time. That's my Monday through Friday job. And then I am a registered nurse. Most of my career, I worked in the emergency department. And I still do that part-time. That is my every other weekend job. So I'm there running the substance use as a director, and then I do staff nursing over at the emergency department part-time.
Wow. So does seeing the impact of substance use issues, does that play at all into your desire to be on the city council?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, I'm sure we'll talk about this, but I mean, as everybody knows, homelessness is the number one issue that is facing the community. And a lot of times, hand in hand, is substance use and homeless. And so that was one of my major motivators for getting involved in city council. Obviously, working in the emergency department over the last 15 years and working at ADAPT with the substance use, you really have a kind of hand-in-hand relationship between both of those. And knowing what is facing our community right now with the homeless difficulties we're facing, it was an extreme motivator for me to get involved.
What else made you decide to run for city council? You're probably aware that it's kind of a big commitment.
Yeah, so last year I wanted to get involved in the Parks and Rec system and kind of improving that. I'm a big bird guy, so I wanted to improve the Parks and Rec for wildlife conservation, but also for the general public. I got a taste for local politics and really kind of having the commission recommendations to city council, and so I was a little exposed to just the influence that city council had on the direction of where we go in town. And so I've been listening to city council meetings probably for the last year, kind of getting to know how everything works, and just got a motivator for really kind of improving the situations we're facing right now.
Now, the help me out here, the Audubon Society is now the
Umpqua Bird Alliance.
So is right. That like a thing that happened on a national level?
Yeah, there were quite a few from the National Audubon Society. There were a lot of chapters across the nation that went to Alliance versus the Audubon. Mainly, our motivator for that was to kind of have people know exactly what we do. So a lot of times you hear Audubon and you're going to hear the roadway in Germany, not necessarily bird related. And so having bird in the actual organization title kind of gives a little bit more familiarity with what we do.
Okay, interesting. I didn't realize that. So how would you describe the role of what city council is supposed to be involved in?
Yeah, so I've been watching the city council recordings and attending city council meetings over about the last year, and I've been speaking to local city staff members, and it really is just kind of providing direction to city management and the city staff and how we want to go about providing solutions for the issues that we have here in Roseburg. You know, it's working together with me as a city council member, as well as the other 8 voting members, and really kind of addressing and putting that focus in on how do we want to tackle the situations that we're facing.
And now there are different types of city manager, city council relationships. So how does the council interact with the work of the city manager?
Yeah, so there has to be, you know, a collaborative piece to that. The city manager, in what I've learned over the last few weeks, is really kind of familiar with what the city staff are capable of in terms of the resources the community and the city have. And so working with council, I think it's really that collaborative piece of working with the city management and providing direction of where we want to go with providing, again, solutions for these topics that are really kind of facing the community. And so working with the city management, you can really provide the collaborative piece of, hey, is this solution actually going to be able to be effective, or is it something that within the constraints of the law, not going to be something that we're going to be able to do?
Now, you mentioned being involved in the Parks Commission. What kinds of things have you learned there?
Yeah, so I've learned there's a lot of regulation. You know, like everything, you can't just make a change. There are quite a bit of standards and regulations to any change that you want to make. It's not easy. There's quite a bit of things that, you know, it seem easy enough to do, but then you kind of learn that, yeah, maybe there's a lot of state, federal, and local standards that kind of prevent maybe from going a certain direction. It's really given me an insight into why necessarily some solutions won't work. Even though we would love to say it's easy, it may not be.
Now, you mentioned the homeless issue for the council. What are some of the other big issues you feel like are facing the community that the council can work on addressing?
Yeah, so when I first got into the city council race, I went out and provided a community needs assessment. So, I mean, one thing you always learn about in nursing is that you got to assess the situation, right? So not only with the ward, but also the city. I put a survey out. It's on my Facebook page if anybody wants to take it. It's not just for my ward, it's for the community. But really kind of learning, you know, I know for the city's perspective of what the main priorities are, but it really provides an opportunity for community members to give me insight on what is your priority. It's not shocking. I think I've had about 45 responses so far. It's not shocking. Homelessness is going to be the number one. You know, we have economic growth is a close number two. And then we have mental health and substance use. Those are really kind of the top four I'm seeing. And it kind of coincides with what I'm talking with the city about.
Now, you've got the council, the city rather, set up into different wards that reflect different parts of the community. Mm-hmm. Do you think the wards are very much different from each other?
Yeah, the wards are extremely different. I mean, they're all different types of community members, different areas, different opportunities that they each hold within the city. Ward 3 for mine is going to be Harvard, West Harvard, Laurelwood, and Looking Glass. I mean, obviously, we have Roseburg High School there. We have all of Harvard, where we have a lot of restaurants, obviously, Fir Grove. That may not be similar to downtown, so that's going to be a whole different area with Zach Weiss and his other council member that run kind of that area. That's going to be a whole different economic status and different issues that are going to face that those constituents than what's going to face mine.
All right, Samuel Denny running for Roseburg City Council Ward 3. More when we come back. The interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson at 1. Again, tomorrow we begin the back-to-school series on Inside Douglas County, talking to area school superintendents and other leaders. We'll start out with Superintendent Jared Corden of Roseburg Public Schools on tomorrow's program. Samuel Denny running for Ward 3 in the Roseburg City Council. Seems like this year, maybe more than a lot of years, the council races have gotten more attention, of course, with Larry Rich, a longtime mayor's decision not to seek another term. Do you feel like things have kind of opened up more? There's more interest in people getting involved in the city?
Oh, absolutely. So I mean, the big thing is we're at a pivotal time for where we are going in Roseburg. So it's huge to have a new city manager coming on board. You have a new mayor, which really kind of are the top two positions that are going to have major influence on where we take Roseburg. The city council members coming on board, I mean, that's a lot of new folks coming in that is going to have a giant say in what we do with the issues that we're facing. And so right now it's great to see all of the interest. I think there's a lot of motivation in terms of trying to turn things around and improve the city and get these topics that, you know, we've discussed in terms of homeless and everything back on track and moving forward.
Obviously, you know, from your work professionally, the homeless issue, which is really a multitude of issues combined, is obviously not one that's easy to solve.
Yeah, so lock in. So we have a huge homeless issue. I'll start off by saying I do not believe the point should exist. So I work in substance use. I treat the demographic that we see at the Deer Creek Greenway and at the point. And we need to focus on enforcement versus providing additional resources. And unfortunately, right now, you know, I'll say this, and people who have followed me will hear me say this time and time again, but there's a very fine line between helping and enabling, and we have gone completely to the side of enabling. And working from a nonprofit perspective, you kind of see that you need enforcement. Unfortunately, with addiction and mental health, you need to have accountability, or there's just no motivator for change. And so that's where I want to focus in. You know, I don't believe the efforts that the city is having right now in terms of a taxpayer-funded camp for the city is the direction we need to go. I want to see resources poured into helping RPD and the sheriff's office get fully staffed to where we can have more enforcement of the current laws. Obviously, we're going to be constrained with House Bill 3115 at the state level. That kind of gives us a little bit of a barrier in what we do with this, but again, it's not a one opportunity fits everything. It's going to be kind of getting people motivated to change. And I truly believe we don't need to provide additional resources. I think right now we really need to focus on enforcement.
And there was a shift as well during the pandemic. Some of the federal guidelines that came down that involved some of these things that kind of complicated it as well in terms of limiting just how much municipalities could do.
Yeah, exactly. So that's where the House Bill 3115 with Oregon comes in. So, you know, there has to be opportunity to allow them to be in the parks and to have an existence within the city. But again, that's kind of where, you know, where I'm saying it rounds back to, yes, that is something they need. But in terms of being in our park system, they need to have accountability not to stay there long term. You know, time, place and manner. There is a 8 p.m. to 8 a.m. They need to be packed up and moving on. Right now, one of the constraints is RPD is short-staffed. And so I talked to Chief Kloppenstein, and I've talked to the city community developer and a few other folks at the city. And right now, I want to see our resources and our city budget kind of go to helping out in terms of what can we do to increase recruitment, retention for not only RPD, but for also the sheriff, because then we can, you know, not only focus on community safety and other realms outside of the homeless difficulties that we're facing, but also kind of get Deer Creek, handled.
When you have been here for a long time, as you mentioned, if you look down the road, what would you like to see Roseburg look like in 10 years?
Yeah, I think along with everybody in Roseburg, I've talked to the city staff, I've talked to my constituents as going kind of door to door, and I think everybody really wants to see Deer Creek Greenway back. You know, I used to run that trail in cross country back in high school. I would love to see that go back to its former glory. That is one of the big things. Also for Roseburg in general, I want to see a booming downtown. I think over the last couple of weeks that I've been speaking to city staff, I've talked to local business owners, it really seems like we need a vision for where we want Roseburg to go. Right now, there's just so much volatility in terms of how we're approaching different topics, and we really need to focus in on where do we need Roseburg to go over the next 10 years. And I do believe that's a booming downtown. I think we really need to kind of explore the waterfront development. Is difficult, I'm sure, as that's going to be in terms of a task. And then again, this homeless issue at the point is, I think, the number one priority, of not only for me, but for the city itself.
Now, you brought up the waterfront issue, and having been here for a long time, back in the day, as some of us would say, there was a whole waterfront study. There were ideas of something much like, well, maybe not much like, but sort of in the mindset of what you see in San Antonio. You get into some complexities there between people's private property that gets near the river and what do you put where and all that. But a lot of folks have said the, you know, one of the best assets we have here is the South Umpqua River going through town, but we don't seem to make the most of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's extremely difficult right now because I think a large majority of that waterfront is unfortunately full of the unhoused. I mean, I don't believe that we're going to be able to build that out until we get a hold of the homeless situation. And, you know, a broken record on this, but in terms of economic growth, local businesses downtown, we really need to clean up the area to provide an ability to grow that expansion of the South Umpqua waterfront, Deer Creek, downtown. Until we can make the city and the area surrounding it more beautiful and more, you know, thrilling to come in and actually stay here and explore the options, it's just not going to go anywhere.
Would you like to see Roseburg grow numerically? And if so, how much?
Yeah, I mean, I would love to. You know, one of the things that I've learned pretty quickly is we have quite a bit of issues outside of the main priorities we kind of previously mentioned that would prevent this. I mean, I would love to see Roseburg grow numerically, but the issues are is that right now we have a 23,000 population here in Roseburg, but daytime use is astronomically increased because of how many people come out and from outside city limits to work, to play, to shop. And what that does is that causes extra strain on infrastructure. So I sat down with a public works director last week, Ryan, great guy, love him as a Parks and Rec commission director. And we kind of talked about, you know, not only the ability to have housing, but also the infrastructure of roads, the city water, city sewer lines. I mean, we're in a real interesting time in terms of trying to update this to allow us to grow. I don't right now think that we are able to based on the infrastructure that we have. And so, you know, that's another focus outside of the main priorities we've talked about that I really want to focus in on is how do we support the city in getting that infrastructure built up so that when we have a boom, we can actually manage that effectively and not run into other issues.
And on maybe a similar line, do you feel like Roseburg, the city itself, is business friendly?
Absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, over the last couple of years, I think I've seen downtown turn around. You know, I think it's been a huge increase and it's beautiful. You know, Zach, this example is Christmas time. Zach Weiss, you know, put up all these lights downtown. You know, it was beautiful. I love winter. I love Christmas time. And I love downtown to be, you know, an ideal small town Christmas. And I think we're business friendly. Again, I think we have the right intention, but I do think we have some issues that are going to prevent us from really kind of developing not only the downtown area, but local businesses. You know, I think I just mentioned earlier that unless we're going to be providing spaces that people feel safe in and people feel that we can grow, I don't believe that we're going to be really expanding that much if we just can't keep people here because of the unhoused situation that we're facing or just in general in Roseburg.
How long did it take for you to decide to run for council once maybe that idea first popped up in your head?
Yeah, it was only, you know, a couple months. I worked with Ellen on the board of the Audubon. And so when I learned that she wasn't running for re-election, there were quite a few things in terms of her ideas for how do we improve the city that I agreed with. And for the ward itself and the representation, I thought we need a really strong voice in terms of how do we go about getting these solutions to the problems that we're facing. And so having kind of the experience on the Parks and Rec Commission and the familiarity with how things are within reason operating at the city level, and you know, I saw a perfect opportunity for trying to get into this race and getting on a city council.
Well, Samuel Denny running for Ward 3 in the Roseburg City Council. As we wrap up here, if people want to find out more about you or get connected, how do they do that?
Yeah, so I have a few ways. I have my email. It's samuelforcitycouncil@gmail.com. Probably easiest way is I have a Facebook page. It's at Samuel Denny for Roseburg City Council. I also am going to be hosting a town hall where everybody can come down and meet me. That's going to be on September 18th from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Umpqua Valley Arts Center. So if you want to come down, just kind of chat with me. It'll be a pretty casual town hall just to meet me, kind of get my opinions, and see everybody that hopefully I'm going to be representing after November.
Samuel Denny, Inside Douglas County, thanks for being in.
Yeah, thank you so much.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This has been Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Listen every weekday afternoon at 12:30 to stay connected with what's happening in your community. It's presented by Roseburg Foot and Ankle Specialists. Today's interview will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it with others. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.